This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Second period especially missed. You know, we missed two or three empty nets off the backside of the goaltender. And you know, we left a lot of good chances out there. Tight game. It was a hard-fought game. It was we were doing a lot of good stuff, you know, against those two top lines, and we were generating enough to win it. We had a power play at the end that gave us two or three really good opportunities. Even hit the post, I don't know, late there through the maze, but we just left too many. The second period, we left too many chances there.
Toronto, so one left in the regular go-around for Buffalo. It happens tomorrow against Philadelphia with Marty and Brian. What would be the focal point on the last game as far as what you would want to see given what they haven't been seeing of late?
Well, I mean, they did do some good things against Toronto last night, and that's the thing that you can look at the game and say it's a 1-0 game until late and maybe a 2-0, and you know, it ends up being 4. So, you know, the score is the score and you move on. I felt like the execution was just off. Like Lindy talks about some wide open nets and backdoor plays. And okay, well, you have to execute those. You have to put it tape to tape. Like Matthews to Marner to make it 2-0. They executed. They found the back of the net, right? That's the difference there. That at the end of the day, in a tight game, it makes a difference. So I'd like to see a little bit more of the execution side of it. Obviously, there wasn't enough net front, and that's a big thing. Now, they did have some chances around the net, but we talked before the game, and if you had the pregame scout on, Stolarz, Anthony Stolarz, it would be, he's big. He makes the first save, get the rebounds. He's good laterally. So I think it worked more in his favor. He looked really good last night, but the Sabres made him look good in the way that they attacked him. So what do I want to see tomorrow? I want to see a little bit more of that speed and desperation and execution. This is now 4 games where, you know, you go in Columbus, you have a chance to win. It's not there. You go in Florida, you play against a depleted team, you have a chance to win. You don't come up with a win. Didn't play well in Tampa, and then you had a chance to win, but it didn't come through. So that's 4 games in a row where I feel the execution didn't, on both sides of the ice, didn't put you in a winning way. So you have 1 game left. And, you know, it's against the Flyers, a team that has given up some goals of late. So, you know, the execution has to be there because that's the way you're going to go in the offseason.
It doesn't feel like, though, there's an appetite for change in the sense of lines and things like that. So so what does that mean for players down in the lineup who are unlikely to move up and play with different players?
Well, I don't feel, and I don't have an appetite for things to change. I think your top 9 has been the same pretty much for the last, you know, consistently for the last 3 weeks or so, maybe close to a month. They've produced, they've been able to score goals. Put the Toronto game aside, you still were able to produce and score. You had a 3-game losing streak on the road, but you had 1-6 at home. So, you know, that Toronto game kind of makes it that you extend that losing streak, but you lost 1-7 at home. So I don't see the need for change. You know, Sam Lafferty knows his role. He's not going to get elevated in the lineup. Noah Oslin is going to go back to Rochester, and he'll probably play a full season in Rochester again next year. He's getting an opportunity, maybe a taste of the NHL, but I don't see the need to say, oh, we got to give Noah Oslin top three lines opportunity. And Isaac Roseanne played last night. Maybe it's hard for him to be called up, sent down, called up, sent down, called up. But I've not seen, like, really any reason to say, okay, well, let's give Roseanne that look. I think it's, again, go over to Rochester, play your games, get in the playoffs. I would be very surprised if Roseanne is fighting for a roster spot next year. I just don't see it. Number one, there's too many bodies on the roster. There's going to be some change needed, but I don't see that. I don't see Oslin. I don't see Roseanne. So look at your nine, your top nine. Try to continue to build some things. Have some sort of assembly of what you would want it to be game one next year.
And but how do you do that when you don't have four guys?
It's hard. It's really hard.
Right. So that's why I'm on the train of appetite for change, because the games haven't mattered in the standings. So why not give the other players an opportunity? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you my opinion, my thought process here. That's all.
No. So. And there's a fine thought process there, but I'm also looking at, I'm not all of a sudden saying to Benson, I'm going to put something in your spot, somebody in your spot.
Right. But because do we think Zach Benson's a top line player?
He's not. But okay. I mean, when you look at the roster
Jack Quinn's in another long goalless drought now too. And this is where you're trying to, you know, manage expectations and performance and opportunity. So I'm just curious, like, again, I'm throwing all this out in the realm of curiosity, because I don't know how players get, like, I don't know how you try to give them opportunity to prove themselves in situations that don't maybe present a certain way. I don't know. I could be completely off.
No, and I think you're the way that I thought, you know, about your question was more, you know, the guys that are in the fourth line right now. If you want to make some changes inside the top nine, I think that maybe you're looking at it. But so you look at Jack Quinn, you're like, he's not finding the back of the net now. And they did make a switch last game where they did Tuck and Quinn and they changed them. So they put Tuck with McLeod and Peterka, and Quinn played with Krebs and Zucker. That didn't last long. There wasn't any energy. They didn't have anything going on those two lines. So all of a sudden, boom, you're putting it back to normal. Quinn did have a couple of good chances yesterday. Hit the goalie in the chest both times, and you're like, okay, now you're getting the look. It's on you to be able to put it somewhere where you're going to score or create that opportunity. But I'm looking at, okay, see, if I want to say I'm going to elevate Quinn, where do I put him? You know, maybe it's just another switch with Tuck and you've got Quinn all of a sudden with Krebs and Zucker, but does that give Quinn a better offensive opportunity? I don't think so. I'm not moving Quinn up to play with Kulik and Thompson because Benson is doing a good job there. So it's a great question, and it's probably a topic that is being discussed in the coach's room. I don't see a clear answer to that right now to warrant, like, okay, we'll change things for the last game of the season. The guys that you want to perform, Tuck has been performing, Thompson has been performing, Peterka has been performing. You've got those guys that have been performing. You want them to perform. At least that is working for you.
Well, you
but they're doing the same thing. Like, for example, in your way of thinking, they're doing the same thing with Luukkonen right now. They're saying he needs to play. He needs to be getting games.
Well,
so we're going
to
play him. And they played him.
To one of 23 to 27. And you just said it a few minutes ago. They have too many bodies right now, even with a whole bunch of them not playing due to injury. Like, have you gained any clarity as to, like, what you think next year is going to look like? Josh Norris is out with an injury that is, you know, apparently a 6 to 8 week thing. So we got basically no sample size of his work with Buffalo.
But that's like acquiring a player in the summertime. Like, I look at Josh Norris. You made the trade at the trade deadline. You were hoping to get more than 3 games from him. But when I see him in training camp next year, it's almost like, oh, like a player you acquire in the offseason. And then he gets going.
Right,
but
is he the number one center? Or are you still going out and acquiring a number one center? And this is why I'm asking these questions about who fits where, because you've gone through the entire season now, and like, it's hard to, and you've had a cupboard full of prospects that are trying to knock the door down, and there's only room for so many, and you've already extended contracts on others, right? So apologies,
because now you
my head
Greenway
is a little cloudy
sitting there.
Here.
Yeah,
because,
Greenway's sitting there not playing.
Because there's a lot of atmospheric pressure.
Yeah, Greenway's sitting there not playing, and he's hurt, and you're like, okay, where does he fit next year? You know, so that's one you have to make decisions of. Obviously, Krebs and you know, McLeod needs a contract, but he's an RFA, so you can always take him to arbitration if you want. Quinn and Paterka need contracts. You got Byram, so there's a lot there. But so for me, I'm looking offensively. Would I be okay with Josh Norris being my number one center? Yeah. I think that offensively, if you put Norris with Thompson and somebody else on the other wing, I think that I'm okay with the offense that that line or that twosome can provide. Now, that leaves you with Kulik as a number two center and McLeod as a number three center. Offensively, I'd be okay with Kulik as a number two center and McLeod as a number three center. Defensively, though, I don't know that that's the best fit to have Norris, Kulik, and McLeod. It's because I don't know enough about Norris's defensive game. I don't see it as a, hey, he's going to go shut down other teams, but if offensively he's really good, then okay, they'll have the puck and they'll outscore their problems. For me, the biggest question when it comes to the roster, again, is you have so many pieces up front as forwards, and you need help on the blue line and on the defensive side of the game. So how do you turn these pieces up front into help on the blue line? I think if you booster your blue line, you can go Norris, Kulik, McLeod in the middle. You can go Norris Thompson and player X. You can go Kulik with Paterka and Quinn, McLeod with Tuck and Zucker, or you can switch that around. If you booster the blue line, you can go with that. And I remember when I was with the Flyers, and in Philadelphia, you know, from 08, 09 to 2009, 2010, all of a sudden, I didn't get re-signed. They signed Ray Emery. And the mentality in Philadelphia was, we're good with Jeff Carter. We're good with Danny Briere. We're good with Mike Richard as a third line center, potentially. We're good with all of that. But we need to bolster the blue line. And what did they do? They acquired Chris Pronger. And that made a big difference because it didn't matter that you had Ray Emery in net or Brian Boucher and Michael Layton. And it didn't matter who your offense or your defensive centermen were because it wasn't about them. It was about you have Kimmo Timonen, you have Chris Pronger, you have Braden Coburn, and you have a blue line that's solid. So can you turn some of those pieces up front because you have too many of them? You're not going to be allowed to carry 17 forwards next year. You're probably going to carry 14. And this year, they carried 13 at the start of the season. So, and can you turn that into some defensive help? And now you have Owen Power injury that comes into play with all of this. Look, Kevin Adams say Owen Power is going to get a second opinion tomorrow to see if it's a rehab situation, a surgery situation. Where is Owen Power going to be next year? Well, I think at best, you can say he's not going to be 100%. So you need to even take that approach in bolstering the blue line even more because Power, in my opinion, will not be 100% at the start of the year next year. Or if he's physically 100%, he will have missed a lot of the gains that he could have gotten over the summer because he won't have a normal offseason.
Well, I guess we'll jury's out on that as far as length of rehabilitation process for his injury. And I'm not familiar with the games he would miss in the summer. Sorry to be a smart aleck here.
Well, you are a smart aleck, but I mean, Owen Power needs a good summer. Owen Power needs to train.
I'm not,
needs
are we
to
talking
skate.
About needs, the what's the Beauty League or something in like Minnesota?
He's not playing in Minnesota in the Beauty Hockey League, the BHL. It's not that, but he like anybody that goes into an off season healthy. Okay, so you're going in. Maybe you're not 100%, but you're like, I'm going to start my workout program at the end of April, May 1st. Right? I'm in the gym and I'm starting. May, June, July, August, I'm making grounds. I'm getting stronger. Maybe you're taking time to say, I need to work on flexibility. So instead of being in the gym doing like full, like, you know, body lifting.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And weight gaining and all of that. You're doing flexibility, but you have so much time to be able to do everything. But if you're going through rehab or surgery, and that takes a long time. By the time you're done with this and you're starting to, okay, now I need to make gains. Now I need to get on the ice and be quicker and work on my game. You don't have the same offseason. You don't have the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, summers are really important. Is there games in the summer? No. Are you winning the Stanley Cup in the summer? No. But individually, summers are really important, especially in that case where Owen Power was after this season.
You could have just said that you said gains and not games, and I would have believed you. So
he needs to make gains.
Gains.
For his game to be better next year. And it will be, in, so we'll find out, right? Like, second opinion, they'll discuss it. Will we find out Friday or Saturday when the Sabres meet with the media? And I think it's Saturday afternoon that Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff are going to talk to the media. We may not find out by then, but we'll find out within a week and 10 days what is the plan of action and what that means for Owen Power. But bolstering the blue line. Look at what Toronto did last year And I'm using Toronto because they were here last night and, you know.
Yeah, but their defense last night doesn't resemble at all what the defense actually looks like.
No, because you don't have McCabe and you don't have Ekman-Larsson. But what's the biggest difference on the blue line for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year is Chris Tanev from where they were a year plus ago. It's Chris
Tanev. Or just general commitment to playing a certain way.
Craig Berube, new coach, makes a big difference. But Tanev comes
in. And better goaltending, save percentage. You like to point that out. Makes all the defensemen look better.
But Joseph Woll was there last year. Percentage.
Nobody liked them at the start. I like them. I've liked them for a long time. Like, yes. Only one team wins the cup every year. Toronto's been great since Matthews came into the league. Yeah. Make the playoffs every year. They're a great team. They could win the whole thing. In fact, they might be my favorite right now to come out of the East. But anyway.
Tempo is
my
favorite.
But people still didn't
like
the goaltending at the start. I'm like, what's not to like? These two guys are good.
Over the last 3 weeks, I've switched to Tampa. I think Tampa is my favorite for the East right now. But you're right. Look, the difference is they were getting in the playoffs because they had such a good team, and they got to the playoffs, and they had Jack Campbell and Ilya Samsonov, and they had an injured Freddie Anderson, and that's what they had to roll out. But what they did this year is they said, we're going to continue our development with Joseph Woll, and let's go and get somebody who we think can have a little bit more upside, and we'll go get Anthony Stolarz, who won the cup as a backup with Florida last year. But we're going to make a commitment to our blue line and our defense, and that's going to make a big difference. Tanev is a huge add for them when they added him, and it makes a big difference to have Chris Tanev in the lineup. Look, Tanev went to Dallas last year, and Dallas, you know, spotted him and said, we need that guy for the playoffs. And the Leafs said, we need him for the season and the playoffs. He's a big reason. So can you find a Chris Tanev to go along with Dahlin and Byram and Power? Like, can you find that? Just that alone would be a big difference.
Sure. I guess anything is possible, but Tanev had a built-in connection with the Maple Leafs general manager.
Yes,
so
with Calgary.
Many things have to be lined up here, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, like, sure, things
there's
can
somebody
happen,
out there that maybe doesn't have a connection to Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, I'm not saying it has to. I'm just saying it went
maybe,
that way because
maybe money talks. Maybe it's like, hey, let's find somebody, and maybe that's an overpay for somebody that's going to come in and stabilize. Look, right. There's many. Maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's an overpay in a trade. Maybe it's we're going to package some prospect and, you know, some of our picks or whatever to go get that guy. But I feel like that's the number one need is to bolster the defense to make sure that you get that defenseman that will come in and do what Chris Tanev did or what, to a certain extent, I'm looking at Montreal, but David Savard did in Montreal to settle. Now, David Savard's getting older, and in year two and three and four, it's not the same. But I think that's the type of bolstering that you can see on the back end.
Yeah, and I mean, why did Montreal get better? Because they had a superstar rookie in Lane Hutson and better save percentage, and it's less about David Savard. So I'm not trying to take away from Chris Tanev here. It's just, like, there's so much more maturity throughout their lineup and better goaltending. So I don't know. Like, it's just, it's not as simple as just plugging in one or two. Can it help? Sure. Of course it can help. Absolutely. And your point is 1,000,000% valid here in the discussion of, like, what does the defense core for Buffalo look like next year, especially now that they're dealing with Owen Power's end of season injury. So it's a lot better. By the way, Darren Dreger is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour here. One more smart aleck comment, because I know you invited me to offer up as many as possible.
Always.
When are you traveling to Montreal? Because Carolina doesn't seem to want to dress anybody for tonight, so I'm assuming you're going to be an emergency backup as they tank the final game to ensure Montreal gets in.
Well, I don't think Carolina cares if Montreal or Columbus get in.
Okay, do they not care because Don Waddell used to work there and now he's in Columbus?
I don't think they do. I think it's a great storyline.
It's not a great storyline. It's petty and it's awful if this actually comes
to pass. I think Carolina
pass.
Cares about themselves more than anything. But They have a game tonight in Montreal and a game tomorrow in Ottawa. They play back-to-back to close out the season.
Now, right, and tomorrow doesn't mean anything. Tonight, for the integrity of the league, means everything.
It does, and I follow along with what you're saying. Now, this morning at Morning Skate in Montreal, Carolina did not have Sebastian Aho, Jalen Chatfield, Seth Jarvis, Jordan Martinook, Jacob Slavin, Jordan Stahl, and Jackson Blake. That's seven of their top players not on the ice.
Optional.
Could they play tonight? Yes. Some of them could. Maybe you're not playing some tonight, and maybe you're not playing some tomorrow. You split it in half. Maybe Aho's not playing tonight, and tomorrow Svechnikov's not playing. I think when you leave it to chance, like Montreal to a certain extent, and Columbus, that it's the last game or the last two games of the season, these are situations that happen. Look, Montreal could be clinched if they had beaten Chicago at home.
Mm-hmm.
They lose in a shootout. Well, you know what? Maybe Carolina dresses their old team, or maybe you get lucky mm-hmm. and Carolina doesn't dress their old team. Columbus had a moment there where they could not win any game. Right. If they had won one of those games, maybe they'd be in a different situation mm-hmm. and you would leave it to Montreal having to lose to Carolina. So that's what happens in the last week of the season. That happens in football, in the NFL, when teams rest their starter week 18. And you're like, well, there's playoff implications. Well, it happens. So does Carolina have a little bit more of, well, we used to have Don Waddell as a GM, and now he's in Columbus, and we'd rather have Montreal make the playoffs than Columbus? I don't believe so. It doesn't look right, but I think they're just thinking about themselves.
Yeah, I would hope not. I mean, Carolina doesn't like Montreal either. So I would just hope that they go out and play a game. And whoever skates and whoever tends goal, I hope that it looks like a real effort. I'm optimistic that it will, for all my consternation on this right now. I'm speaking more, you know, tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But
Carolina could play Montreal or Columbus in the second round, because whoever finishes eighth will play Washington.
Yeah.
Washington is not a lock. I mean, they're the number one team in the Eastern Conference, but it's not a lock that, you know, they're going to win. So, and I think Carolina is going to beat New Jersey. That's just me. It's not a lock. But if Carolina beats New Jersey and whoever gets in at eight, Montreal or Columbus, then it would be against Carolina. So do you have a play into that as well, selfishly, knowing that maybe you can face those teams? Yes. I don't know that Carolina would want to face Montreal, to be honest with you. I think Montreal right now is a team that you're like, oof, that top line with Suzuki, Lane Hudson, they got Demidov.
Yeah.
So I think they would want to beat Montreal so that it opens the door for Columbus tomorrow.
Well, I mean, Montreal has lost three in a row. So, yeah, we'll see. There was some.
Let me ask you this. If they lose tonight, losing your regulation to Carolina, and Columbus wins tomorrow, in regulation and gets in.
I will promise you I won't do the show on Friday.
Well, we don't have a show Friday.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have a show Friday. Good Friday, we are off. But would you consider this a disaster for Montreal? I'm not going to label it a choke, but would you consider this a disaster, a failure of some sort for Montreal?
No, because the best story in the NHL this year is the Columbus Blue Jackets, and my hope is they get in at the expense of
anyone.
Yeah,
but Montreal was up 6 points with like a week left.
Yeah, but you just said it. I mean, you can. That's why you play 82. Like, I don't care whether it happens. I don't.
Yeah.
Montreal's lost three in a row, but they still have points in two of those three.
Yeah.
So if you want to play the opposite game of how many games they have points in over the last 15, it's still going to be an overwhelming majority, right? It is what it is.
The biggest thing for me, that Montreal started terribly and they were able to recover. Not a lot of teams recover from that. I almost feel like if Montreal was to miss the playoff, it's like a parallel to one of my favorite movies of all time, Apollo 13, where they deemed the mission a successful failure. Like if Montreal misses the playoffs, it's still a successful season in the way that I didn't think, and a lot of people didn't think, they would even be there at the end of the season. But it is a failure because they weren't able to get in. So that's where I draw the comparison. Like, it would be a successful failure because they would have taken step forward but not gotten in.
Well, that's just opening up a whole other can of worms, because looking at the Rangers and the Red Wings identical in the standings, are you then going to apply the same logic to the Red Wings because somehow they are thought of as more successful under Todd McClellan, even though they didn't get in? I don't know. I feel like whichever way the wind blows is convenient for most people's narratives.
Yeah, I think that the Red Wings is more of a, we failed this year, but maybe more in the sense that they didn't have the right coach. I don't love their roster. So it's still a lot of work to do. The Rangers is a complete failure. I mean, the Rangers and the Nashville Predators are probably the two most disappointing teams in the NHL this year. And I thought it was going to be Nashville all the way, the number one most disappointing team. And right now, I think the Rangers are giving them a run for their money, because, you know, Nashville were disappointing all season long. The Rangers, I mean, with the expectations, that's a bad fall.
Oh, I feel like we should do a podcast on Radko Gudas's puck handling ability. But you probably don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe we'll save it for after the break.
Is that because last night?
Or for another day.
Yeah, the game ended last night?
Clearly from last night, yeah. Yeah. If you were to set an ominous tone for how the final minute of play was going to unfold for the Ducks, Radko was carrying the torch for that. Anyway.
Now, quickly
congratulations
on that
to
one.
Minnesota. We have to take a break. We got to
Okay, but I'm going to ask you a quick question. Do you think that Marcus Johansson, no, that Matt Boldy was looking for Erickson Ek on the back door on the tying goal? Because if he did,
it was
my
Zuccarello.
Brain is exploding.
Oh, well, but it's the Zuccarello pass that even gives that a chance. I do believe it's the, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go through frame by frame, but this is
I think
all...
he was trying to pass it there, which is 10 seconds left. Your back door, you have the puck.
Yeah.
Like 99.9% of players would take the shot. And if you take the shot,
25 seconds left is a big difference. There's room to maneuver.
There's a little, but he looked back door to a player that was coming from behind the net. Like it was incredible. And that saves Minnesota's season.
It did. I mean, the drama in the West was pretty amazing last night.
The drama was palpable.
I don't know. It's a good word. I don't use it often, but it's definitely a sporting word. Fan appreciation night tomorrow at KeyBank Center. Look forward to seeing you there, as we usually do in situations like this. Lucky Row giveaways, discounts on concessions, big discount on the team store, Alex Tuck bobbleheads for the first 15,000 fans, all the info at sabres.com/tickets. And angry, presumably, for having to wait, Darren Dreger is next on Sabres Live.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.